Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and I'm excited to have back on the show Samantha Anesta of Be a Sister to a Sister. Samantha, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing very well, and I hope all has been well since our first episode. We have quite an extensive series coming up with you, and a lot of really great topics that we're going to be sharing and discussing, and, you know, let's not waste any more time. Why don't you tell us a little bit quickly about the organization?
Sure. So we are called Be a Sister to a Sister, and what we are is an aftercare program for survivors of sex trafficking, domestic violence, and basically all forms of violence against women, but we do focus on the sex trafficking issue. What we do is we provide survivors with badly needed services that they may be maxed out from in the original program that they were put in when they were originally taken out of the life. So what we do is we provide extra counseling, focus groups, medical needs, legal needs, housing, and all of that. And so we're basically, what we do is we also create survivor networks for these women so that they always have that needed support to be able to move forward and not to ever think about going back into the life.
Mm-hmm. And now you said you provide housing as well, right?
Yes.
And so how does that work? So, I mean, just explain to us if you have a woman in need, so are you in contact with,
right,
I guess, housing units or people that provide shelter for women in that situation?
Yes, we are in contact with people that provide shelter for women. We also work with the Brooklyn DA's office, which they will work with us to help to find shelter for women as well as other various organizations.
Wow. Okay. And how long has the organization been around for?
We've been around for about 3 years, so we're still kind of young and still building up, but also at the same time, we've been helping quite a few young ladies get move forward in their life.
Absolutely. And just a personal question, why for you was this so important to be a part of?
Well, when I first came across the issue, it really, really broke my heart in many ways that I won't get into right now. And it was really such a global issue. And I just could not understand how people can do that to another person. And especially that it's such a growing thing towards women, young girls and children. And it was just something that I knew that I needed to be a part of because I'm a woman, and it's not because only because I'm a woman. I mean, there are a lot of men out there that are getting involved in this that are doing great work. I mean, I know a few of them right here in New York City that are just phenomenal. And it was really something that I knew in my heart that even as a woman, I had to get involved in it. So that's what helped me to make that decision.
Right, absolutely. And you guys are based out of New York City, right?
Yes, we are. We're based out of New York City.
Mm-hmm. And that's obviously, I know we discussed on the first episode, that's the hub of so many different things going on, that obviously trafficking is a major concern in large cities, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you get places like the JFK International Airport is one of the biggest hubs where women obviously from other countries are being brought in through that venue, and then the New York Penn Station, where you have a lot of young girls who are runaways who are also very large targets for pimps and traffickers to lure them into that life.
Sure, absolutely. And so what we are going to focus on today is the industry of pornography. Now, I know this is an enormous industry and people don't talk about it. They do talk about it. It's everywhere. It's a click of a button away on your computer. I mean, it's everywhere. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy behind it. There's, you know, it's just, it's an enormous industry. And obviously, the people involved in the industry, there's money to be made. There's exploitation. There's a lot of different things happening. And I know that it's got to have something going on with the trafficking industry. I know that the two of them have to be in some way connected. So why don't you tell us how exactly pornography affects the trafficking industry?
Sure. So there are a large portion of children and adults and young adults that are trafficked, that are forced to participate in porn films. And they're also, when they refuse to do these things, they're threatened with violence. Many of the girls that are picked up, they're forced to watch porn, and they're later, they're pushed into the industry. And more and more children are being filmed in pornographic films. And they're exposed to a lot of viewers that are watching, that are logging on to these films, the children, you know, being used in these films. And the more popular that this gets, it creates a higher demand for more children. And it makes the user very insensitive to these young children and the young adults that are forced into this industry. It desensitizes them, and it makes it easier for a lot of these men to participate in buying young girls and also getting involved in trafficking rings as well. Pornography is really not that much different from human trafficking. I mean, a lot of times when you get victims, they're usually filmed through a live webcam, which is really considered pornography because they're having sex. Yes, there's money involved, obviously.
Sure.
The participant in the film is not seeing the money. The money is going to the trafficker. But this is a medium that really has grown, and it's fueling the demand for younger girls, and also it's fueling the demand for more perverse and violent sexual acts. And it's in turn, these acts can desensitize a lot of men and boys into treating women and girls as, like, not human beings. I know that pornography is seen by some people as freedom of speech, but in reality, it's something that increases the demand for commercial sex. By producing and distributing and also perpetuating this mentality as normal in our culture, and it looks at women and girls as commodities and causes the people involved that are watching this, that are taking part in it, to be complicit and desensitizes them, and pornography has become a supply and demand sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And a lot of young girls and young children are being affected by this.
So how exactly are women and girls, I mean, and young children, I mean, you know, I'm sure it happens with men too now and boys,
right.
Especially
right.
children.
Right.
So how are they coerced into the industry?
Well, some young girls, they're usually, I mean, a lot of times they're like runaways, and maybe they come from a dysfunctional family. That's not always the case, but, you know, sometimes they can be approached by someone, even another woman, that's been in the industry, and they'll just, you know, paint this beautiful picture to them and say, oh, it's really glamorizing, you can make a lot of money, you can buy a big house, you can live a good life, and so they play on this with them, and so they kind of get them to see things their way, so to speak, that they'll be famous, and they'll have a lot of money, and it's fine,
right.
and it's safe, and they'll be okay, and so a lot of these young girls believe it, because some of them are in desperate situations. I mean, whether they're out in the street for whatever reason, or it could be just a number of things. And they're coerced in it, you know, towards that. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, you know, you can come and do it, and if you don't like it, then you don't have to do it anymore. But that's never the case, because once they do it once, they're forced to continually do it again.
Sure.
As far as children go, it's usually so the adult comes into their life and basically just kind of threatens them because, you know, children are powerless and, you know, they're very threatened by adults. I mean, an adult can come in and say things like, you know, you don't want mommy and daddy to know what we're doing, don't tell anybody or I'll do this, this, and this. And they instill this fear in the child. And so they force the child to maybe take, you know, explicit pictures. It starts out like that, and then they start telling
right.
the child doing all kinds of different sexual acts, and they put it online somewhere, and it's viewed as pornography. So that's how.
I mean,
it's
crazy. It's insane to me that people. I mean, women are obviously, you know, one thing. If you're older, if you're of age, obviously, and I know that it doesn't make it right, but the fact that children are put in this position
right.
is just insane to me, and.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's just crazy. But, so, in terms
well,
of with
I,
the...
Can,
with
I,
the
can I just interject with that? I'm sorry. Can I
sure.
just interject with that? I know that, you know, yes, older women, they're of age. However, older women can be coerced too, because it is like so many girls have told me, no young girl wakes up and decides she wants to be a prostitute or a porn star. There's always something. So, you know, I agree, you know, yes, they are of age, but at the same time, there's always a situation. It could even be mental illness that will make them vulnerable to be coerced into this industry. So that's what I wanted to interject with.
Of course, absolutely. And I wasn't trying to allude to it being acceptable just because they were of age, obviously. You know, it just, you know, to me, it's just, it's sickening that, that children can be placed in that position. So how does, how would you say then that, that the pornography industry affects families and children?
Okay. Well, a lot of times, and this is an unfortunate reality, that you have a lot of parents, sometimes the fathers, are basically addicted to porn. So it's like a drug. And so, you know, the father will sit there and watch porn constantly, constantly. And a lot of things could happen, like he could be watching it, and then all of a sudden him watching it doesn't do anything for him. He wants to actually do it. So he's not going to ask his wife to do these things. He's going to go out and he's going to find a girl that will do it for him. And it'd be very easy for him to go out and find a girl that's being trafficked to do these horrible things for him. And, you know, of course, things that happen is that the wife finds out and, you know, she gets very upset. Obviously, she divorces him and it tears the family apart. One of the things, unfortunately, that does happen is another way it tears the family apart is that sometimes a father or a mother or whatever the case it is, it will create a situation of incest, because sometimes what happens is, especially with the father, he will watch a pornographic film, and a young woman in that film could be the same age as his daughter, and he might feel that he has more control over his daughter than going out and finding some other girl, and then asserts that control over her, and then tries to recreate the film with his own daughter, which obviously is not, you know, something that's really good, and that can tear a family apart and obviously, you know, really rip apart the life of his daughter as well. But one of the things I wanted to say is that there was a study done, it was done in 2006, it was a filter review study that says that every second, $3,075.64 are being spent on pornography, and 28,258 internet viewers are viewing this pornography.
Wow.
372 internet users are typing in, you know, adult search terms every 39 minutes. And every 39 minutes, a new pornography video is made. And this is all in the United States. This is not even worldwide. This is the United States. So that's what ends up happening. And one of the things, one of the results that can come from that is that when they're addicted to this, eventually, like I said, they become unsatisfied with just watching it. They start to seek out someone who's younger, and usually a child, that they can force them to act out these scenes that they've been watching with them instead of just watching it on a computer or on a screen.
Absolutely. So aside from the family and the children now, can you discuss with us the effects on the immediate relationships? So I know you touched upon that, obviously, but, let us know what you think as far as the effects that it's going to have on relationships on a whole.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, anybody who has watched porn or that knows about porn, porn is not love. It's not romance. A lot of the actions in pornographic films are very violent. They're very cold. There's no touching. There's no intimacy. It's just the act itself. There's a lot of dehumanization to the woman. I don't think there's any dehumanization to the man. It's mostly to the woman. And it puts the woman in a very low position to the man. There are a lot of pornographic films that show one woman with a few men, and she's forced to endure a lot of humiliating sexual acts. I think that if you're in a relationship with someone and you truly love them, you would not want to do those things to them. And you would not want to watch those things happening. So the effect that it has is it's devoid of love. I mean, how could you love someone that wants to put you in that position? So if you have a relationship where, let's say, it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and one of them is watching porn, and they're constantly asking the other person, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this, and the other person rejects it, and the other person gets upset, obviously there's something wrong there, and that will cause the relationship split. And so that's what it is. Pornographic videos or any kind of pornographic thing does not offer love or romance. It's not real sex. It's not reality. One of the things that I really do want to point out and let viewers know is that these women that are forced into these movies are drugged out of their minds. Even if you see them smiling and having fun, they are not. They are drugged out of their mind. They're drinking alcohol. They don't even know their own name. That's why in some of these pornographic videos, when they're called really disgusting names during the act, they don't react because they're not hearing it. They're not understanding it because their body is so numb to what's happening to them. And when a man sees that or a young boy sees that, you know, he's going to think that that's what women want and that's what it is, but it's really not the reality at all. It really isn't.
Right. And really what the point is, I think, too, is that it's kind of conveying, as you said, a way that men or boys should treat women that way, and that's obviously furthest thing from the truth is obviously that.
Right.
So moving on a little bit here, I want to ask you, you mentioned hate speech earlier today. So why? I mean, because people do call it, you know, freedom of expression, basically. That, you know, it's freedom. There's so many freedoms in the country, and that's great, and it's all good. But why do you call this, pornography in particular, hate speech?
Okay. So how I'd like to start by answering this question is I would like to state the U.S. definition of what hate speech is. So according to the United States, the definition of hate speech is a communication that carries no meaning other than the expression of hatred for some group, especially in circumstances in which communication is likely to provoke violence. That's pornography. It is an incitement to hatred primarily against a group of persons defined in terms of race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, religion, and sexual orientation. Hate speech can be any form of expression, regarded as offensive to racial, ethnic, and religious groups and other discrete minorities or to women. Okay, so this pornography falls into this group. Okay, I understand that if you call someone a nasty name, that's not illegal. You're not going to get thrown into jail for it. But there must be a violent action taking place before it is considered illegal. And in a lot of pornography, that's what's happening. You're forcing these women and young girls to do something against their will, and it's done out of hate and dehumanization for women and children. I can't see any of this as being freedom of expression. Constantly seeing a woman raped, and I'm going to be very honest, and ejaculated over constantly against her will, and she doesn't want it, is not a form of freedom of expression. It really is not. We need to take that out of our minds. These women and girls, especially the children cannot consent to this. How anybody can think that children can consent to this is beyond me. Pornography in every form, and and this is my opinion, I'm not saying it's the public, but pornography in every form is hate speech. It's hate speech, especially, and when it comes to children, it's hate speech. These children are not old enough to consent. And even if they were, what woman in her right mind would consent to something like that? I mean, if you really think about it, I think that these people that say it's freedom of expression is because they don't want to look at the harm and the damage that they are doing to these women, young women, and children.
Absolutely. But let me just say one thing on this. I know you're saying that women, you know, that the people that are involved, the adult, we'll say the adult porn stars, right? The adult female pornographic stars. Now, what about the women that they seem like they are genuinely into it? You know, they go to these different award shows, because they have, you know, with pop culture now, it's a big thing. I mean, pornography mm-hmm. is certainly glorified, and they have
right.
the adult video awards, and they have all these different things going on. And they, I mean, obviously,
right.
you know, you have people on popular shows now. I mean, they have porn stars in movies and porn stars that come on
right.
to talk shows and stuff like that.
Right.
So what do you say if a female pornographic star says to you, well, I just like being in that movie, or I just like what I do? I mean, how do you kind of react to something like that?
Well, these women are broken, and they're also being threatened. They are being threatened. They don't
mm-hmm.
want to speak out against this big industry that could,
right.
you know, literally destroy them from what I've seen.
Sure.
So this is how I look at it, as far as, you know, how it's like a war show in popular culture. So this is what it is. I define this whole thing as one big octopus, okay? The
okay.
head of the octopus, go with me on this. The head of the octopus is the porn industry, okay?
Right.
That's the head of the octopus. It's a huge head. Octopuses have big heads, usually. That's the porn industry. All the arms on the octopus extend into every industry, media, music industry, popular culture as a whole, news media, fashion industry, TV, everything you can think of. It has an arm in everything. And the
yeah.
only way that we can stop this from happening is we have to literally attack the head of the octopus. That's really what it is. That's where all of this
sure.
is coming from. That's why you see everything is becoming so pornified, even right down to children's movies.
Right.
There's just like these little nuances and little insinuations, you know, and people are like, oh, well, you know, they're too young to understand. They don't understand, you know, and it's like, but you'd be surprised what children understand. They understand
sure.
a lot because, you know, as much as you try to keep them away from it, as soon as they walk out of the door, it smacks them in the face in many different
mm-hmm.
forms. You know, and yes, I know Hollywood is all about that whole thing and strippers and all this kind of stuff, but that's the head of the octopus putting its arm into the media, putting its arm in there and just basically infecting all of that and glorifying
right.
it and no, and it's okay, and this is cool, and, you know, you want to be like this. And because if you look at a lot of pictures, even a famous couple, you know, you see the man is dressed nice, very stylish, and the woman is dressed, but she's like hardly got anything on standing next
yeah.
to him. You know,
right.
and that's
no.
really what it's all about, and it's just, it creates that mindset that a woman is defined by her body. If she doesn't look like this, if she doesn't want to do this, then there's something wrong with her. You know, it's
right.
like men are defined by their talents and what they can do, and women are just defined by their looks. You know, and we need to change that mindset.
That's very true. I mean, you know, there's nothing incorrect really about the way that
mm-hmm.
that you describe pop culture's view of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
at least again, that's my opinion too. Just like you know, you're saying too. But so, what can people do to avoid the glorification in pop culture of pornography, or just pornography on a whole? I mean, what should people do to try to combat it? Really,
stop watching the shows that glorify it. Stop buying merchandise from different outlets that support pornography in any way. Just stop giving into it. Stop buying the clothes. Stop watching the show. Stop going to the movies that glorify that kind of stuff. Just stop doing it. You know, speak
yeah.
out against it more. You know, get involved. Just say, listen, we don't want to see this. Because a lot of the pornographic stuff that's happening in the United States through popular culture is all aimed at women and children. And, you
sure.
know, a lot of the victims are getting younger and younger. Let me tell you something. This is war against the youth in this country. Media is going after the youth in this country with everything they got. And pornography is driving that train. It is definitely driving that train. And I think that, you know, people really need to get up and say something and just say, listen, if you don't stop doing this, then we're not gonna buy this product, or we're not gonna watch this TV show or whatever. So basically do like a boycott. Basically do a boycott. Everybody needs to come together. Maybe, you know, some of the young people that just, you know, don't want to take it anymore, stop listening to some of those rap and hip hop songs that really do glorify pornography in such a negative way. Stop going to the concert. Stop buying the CDs. Stop buying the tickets. Stop buying the T-shirts. And trust me, you will put a dent in it because it's all about money. Once you hit them in their wallet, that's it. That's it. And then you've really shot them down because that's really the foundation of all of it. It's, you know, it's money. It's money. People will do the most horrible, horrific things to each other for money. And that's really what it is. Like they say, money is the root of all evil. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You can trace it all back to money. That's what it is. And that's where I think that people and society as a whole needs to hit these industries. It's right in the wallet.
Right. Absolutely. And for all of those just joining us, we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here of Episode 2 with Samantha Inesta of Be a Sister to a Sister. The website to check out is beasistertoasister.org. And today we are discussing the effects of pornography in the trafficking industry. And I mean, on a whole, really, pornography on a whole, and it's a negative effect on society. I mean, there's a lot going on here, and it's obviously widespread, and it's easy to access for any person of any age, really. And again, you know, obviously it's something that you can't just turn a blind eye to. You really need to focus on it. And like you just said, Samantha, just combat it in certain ways.
Yes.
And with that, so how exactly does Be a Sister to a Sister want to help with the issue of pornography?
Well, we really do want to educate, and we want to educate men, actually, because, I mean, I'm not saying that some women don't watch porn. They do. But a large number of people that watch porn are men and boys, and we really just want to get that message out there to them to just say, listen, this is wrong, and that young woman and that woman that you're watching is someone's mother, someone's sister, someone's niece. You know, it's not just some woman. She's not just a bad girl. There's no such thing as a bad girl, okay?
Right.
These girls are broken on some level. They've had something happen in their lives, and they don't deserve to be treated this way. You know, we just basically want to say that we need men in this society, you know, and
right.
The porn industry is not helping with that at all. I mean, the porn industry and popular culture basically appends men as these over-emasculated, you know, like violent, abusive, rapist-type men that they get what they want. Women are just supposed to submit to them and be subservient to them. And they don't show men and women as equal. They don't show true love. You know, they just show the actual physical act, and that's it. So we want to be able to tell them, listen, you know, porn is a very, very destructive thing. It's going to hurt your life. It's going to hurt every relationship you ever have, and it's going to hurt your marriage if you decide to get married. It's really going to destroy you. It's going to leave you dark and empty. It's not fulfilling. It's not the way to go, and you will never have a healthy relationship if you view relationships through the dark, dirty lens of pornography.
And now, I mean, obviously you're going to You point out that this is what you're going to tell people, but what should parents say to their children about pornography? I mean, is it something very similar? Is it, you know, if they catch them watching, sex on TV or pornographic videos, what are they going to say?
Okay, well, obviously that's very shocking, and, you know, well, let me say this. There's this mentality amongst some people, like let's say if a dad catches his son watching pornography, he sort of has this mentality, oh, that's my boy, he's a real man, you know, he's watching that, so at least I know,
right.
I know he's, you know what I mean. But that's
sure,
not the attitude to have, because he's not a real man, because if you allow him to watch it, he's going to be an abuser, he's going to be a racist, and he's going to be a pedophile. That's really
right.
The bottom line to that. So if you think that that's cool and attaboy, and well, then you know what? Be prepared for the consequences when he grows up.
Absolutely.
But
I think it opens up a whirlwind of negative actions, really, that a man can do.
Absolutely. But if you are truly a concerned parent, obviously, I mean, as shocking as it is, you don't want to yell at the child because that's
right.
not going to get them to listen to you. What you should do is just sit them down and explain to them that what they're seeing is not real love. It's not romance. the women in the videos are being hurt. They really don't want to be doing that. Those people are really sick and they're really broken. And it's not it's not something that real people do.
Unfortunately, Samantha.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to actually cut you off for today.
But
we will pick right back up with this on the next episode. We will finish this definitely before the next episode. I do want to thank all of our listeners today, and I want to thank Samantha Inesta of Be a Sister to a Sister. The website is beasistertoasister.org. Check it out. You know, this is some pretty serious stuff that she's talking about, and it's there. It's something that you can't avoid. For all those, you know, interested and in need, women especially, check out beasistertoasister.org. Samantha, we're going to see you again in 2 weeks. So from everyone here at CMC Radio, I want to thank Samantha again, and we will see you soon. Take care, everybody.
Okay, thank you.